Viewpoint on Mormonism, the program that examines the teachings of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints from a biblical perspective. Viewpoint on Mormonism is sponsored by Mormonism Research Ministry. Since 1979, Mormonism Research Ministry has been dedicated to equipping the body of Christ with answers regarding the Christian faith in a manner that expresses gentleness and respect. And now, your host for today's Viewpoint on Mormonism.
What are the tentacles of divine providence? Welcome to this edition of Viewpoint on Mormonism. I'm your host, Bill McKeever, founder and director of Mormonism Research Ministry. With me today is Eric Johnson, my colleague at MRM. There was an article in the 2002 Ensign magazine, it's actually the September 2002 Ensign magazine, titled Letting Go Without Giving Up. It's found on page 8. And it tells the story of a woman whose name is withheld, and she tells the story about her son, who they say had a mental illness and a drug addiction problem. And it talks about the struggles that she went through with this son, of course, as a Latter-day Saint, wanting to see him get his act together and hopefully repent and come back into the spiritual fold. And she makes some interesting comments in this, and we want to talk about this for the next few broadcasts, where she says, living with our son's mental illness and substance abuse has not been easy, but through my experiences, I have come to know and love my Savior more deeply. I have found that the only way to find true peace and happiness is by putting my trust in Him. I have come to know that eventually, and this is interesting, whether in this life or in the eternities, my son will find the same peace in the gospel that I have found. My testimony of the Savior and the power of His atoning sacrifice increases daily. Now, what's interesting about this article, and I'm sure the struggle that this mother was going through is a struggle that many Latter-day Saints go through, and I think many Christian parents go through.
We met one in St. George a few years ago. We were at the Visitor Center at the temple there in St. George, and an elderly lady who was a missionary talked to us, and we had a pretty good discussion, Bill, going into some real essential issues of truth. And she came to the conclusion that she had one of her sons that she told us she felt he would come back to the truth, if not in this life, but the next. That was the impression I got when we talked to her.
And it makes you wonder, where are Latter-day Saints getting this kind of information that they feel that somehow there could be a type of repentance in the next life? You certainly do not find it in the Book of Mormon. You've heard us say many times that according to Alma 34, chapter 34 in the Book of Mormon, it makes it very clear that this life is the time for repentance. This life is the time when man is supposed to get right with God. And it also says in that chapter that if you procrastinate the day of your repentance, even until death, the devil has sealed you his, and this is the final state of the wicked. So how is it that some Latter-day Saints, like this lady whose name has been withheld in this article of the 2002 September Ensign magazine, how do they come to that conclusion? How did that lady that Eric and I spoke with down in St. George several years ago also have this type of hope that her wayward son was to eventually come back into the fold and that she would be with this wayward son throughout eternity?
It's interesting. This church is always touted as having Latter-day Revelation, that if we want the answers to life's issues of where we came from, why we're here, and where we're going, that the Mormon church has it. But sometimes, Bill, confusion reigns because you get different opinions, even in church magazines or talks or manuals, and you'll find something that says one thing, and then you'll see something else that says something contradictory.
Oh, absolutely. And we do know that from reading this article in 2002, there is certainly no mention of Alma 34.
No.
In her article. She never cites that. She never tries to explain it. But she uses this phrase, whether in this life or in the eternities. How many times have we heard when we ask Mormons, are you doing what you're supposed to be doing? And if you were to die right now, do you have the assurance that you would get the best your religion has for you? And we have had Mormons respond to us by saying, well, no, I'm trying right now. I'm doing my best right now. But if I don't do it now, I'll be able to do it in the next life.
Well, and I just this past week had a Latter-day Saint I was talking to say that he has assurance of the forgiveness of his sins. He says, if you've never met one, I'm he. And I said, so you've stopped repenting. And his response was, well, no, I keep on repenting.
Which, of course, means he's not keeping all the commandments. And he hasn't really truly repented of all his sins. Because to truly repent of all your sins in the context of Mormonism means that you will never repeat that sin again. And this is what Mormon prophets have said about that issue. Well, here is where I think this lady got the understanding that her son is going to repent eventually, whether in this life or in the eternities. On the very next page of the September 2002 issue of Ensign, on page 11 that follows this short article, there's a page of four quotations, and it's titled Hope for Parents of Wayward Children. And on this page, it has a quote by Joseph Smith, a quote by Brigham Young, who was the second president of the Mormon Church, a quote by Lorenzo Snow, who was the fifth president of the Mormon Church, and also a quote by Boyd K. Packer, who currently serves as an apostle in the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. This is what the quote attributed to Joseph Smith has to say. But first of all, we should make mention, it's not really Joseph Smith doing the talking. It's a second-hand account by Orson F. Whitney, who was a Mormon apostle. Orson Whitney was the son of Horace Whitney and Helen Mar Kimball Whitney. Helen Mar Kimball, of course, being the 14-year-old bride of Joseph Smith. She was married to Joseph Smith at the age of 14, and then Smith was killed several months later after their marriage, and she was left a widow. But she ended up marrying Horace, her childhood sweetheart. They gave birth to Orson F. Whitney, who later became an apostle in the Mormon Church. And this is what he says, according to page 11 of this issue of Ensign.
The prophet Joseph Smith declared, and he never taught a more comforting doctrine, that the eternal sealings of faithful parents and the divine promises made to them for valiant service in the cause of truth would save not only themselves, but likewise their posterity. Though some of the sheep may wander, the eye of the shepherd is upon them, and sooner or later they will feel the tentacles of divine providence reaching out after them and drawing them back to the fold.
There's that phrase, the tentacles of divine providence, and that these tentacles of divine providence are going to reach out after them and draw them back into the fold. And then what's the next line, Eric?
Either in this life or the life to come, they will return.
Doesn't that sound very similar to what this anonymous writer of this article we've been talking about? The similar phrase that she uses, she says, whether in this life or in the eternities. When we look at this article, though, he goes on to say they will have to pay their debt. Now, when you look at that statement, doesn't that seem to undermine what they're trying to say? I mean, really, if they will have to pay their debt to justice, and this is what Orson Whitney says, they will suffer for their sins and may tread a thorny path, but if it leads them at last, like the penitent prodigal, to a loving and forgiving father's heart and home, the painful experience will not have been in vain. We might mention, folks, we've tried to find the sermon that Orson Whitney is referring to. Whitney gave this in a conference message in April of 1929, and he was to die 2 years later. But we have yet to find this sermon. I'm sure it's got to be out there somewhere. We just don't have access to it right now. But it makes you wonder, is this really what Joseph Smith was saying? Was he really trying to give the impression that somehow, just because you were a good Mormon parent, that somehow wayward children were going to continue to be sealed to you as a parent throughout eternity?
And this is what I was talking about earlier, because you have an article in 2002 with this statement from this lady and these quotes, including the one you just read from Orson Whitney quoting Joseph Smith, and then This past year, you have a talk given by David Bednar, an apostle of the church, and this is called Faithful Parents and Wayward Children, Sustaining Hope While Overcoming Understanding.
And we want to look at what David Bednar says, because it's important to see what was said more recently on this topic as compared to what was said just in 2002, a little over a decade ago. Now, it not only has Joseph Smith's statement here, but it also has something written by Brigham Young. What did Brigham Young say about this?
He said, "Let the father and mother who are members of this church and kingdom take a righteous course and strive with all their might never to do a wrong, but to do good all their lives. If they have one child or 100 children, if they conduct themselves towards them as they should, binding them to the Lord by their faith and prayers, I care not where those children go. They are bound up to their parents by an everlasting tie, and no power of earth or hell can separate them from their parents in eternity. They will return again to the fountain from whence they spring."
Now, what's interesting about this is quoted in Joseph Fielding Smith's Doctrine of Salvation, which was compiled by his son-in-law, Bruce McConkie. It seems like an odd statement, especially for someone like Joseph Fielding Smith to say, because in that same Doctrines of Salvation, only volume 2, page 195 and 196, there's this phrase that is found by Joseph Fielding Smith. He said, "There can be no salvation without repentance. A man cannot enter into the kingdom of God in his sins. It would be a very inconsistent thing for a man to come into the presence of the Father and to dwell in God's presence in his sins. I think there are a great many people upon the earth, many of them perhaps in the church, at least some in the church, who have an idea that they can go through this life doing as they please, violating the commandments of the Lord, and yet eventually they are going to come into his presence." So it sounds like what Joseph Fielding Smith is saying in Volume 2 of Doctrines of Salvation conflicts with what he is citing Brigham Young saying. It sounds like it's two different messages, and yet we have one man citing Brigham Young, and at the same time giving the impression that that's not going to happen, that wayward children, if they do not repent, cannot hope to be with their parents, even though they have been sealed to them for time and eternity. We're going to be looking at some more quotations regarding this topic, because I think sometimes the Mormon Church gives its members certainly a false hope when it comes to being with wayward children in the next life. And of course, if we just read these quotations just as they are on page 11 of the September 2002 issue of Ensign, it certainly does seem to give that impression. But is that really what Mormon doctrine teaches?
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information regarding Mormonism Research Ministry, we encourage you to visit our website at www.mrm.org, where you can request our free newsletter, Mormonism Researched. We hope you will join us again as we look at another viewpoint on Mormonism. How would you like to have Mormonism Research Ministry address your church on the subject of Mormonism? MRM's Bill McKeever and Eric Johnson have spoken at many Christian churches all over the country. You see, they can tailor their presentation to meet your church's needs. Anything from a one-day basic introduction to a weekend symposium. You'll find these PowerPoint presentations clear, articulate, and presented in a Christ-honoring fashion. So let your pastor know today that you'd like to have MRM speak at your church. Write us at contact@mrm.org.